WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road. I'm wearing my State Fair gear because I love Evan. We're trying to get him well, and it's the holiday season. I know it's Crab Cake Tour, but that's not going to stop me from getting shrimp and grits and getting chicken and waffles and doing all that stuff, as well as giving out the scented lottery tickets. I have these Oh Snap, and they smell like gingerbread. I have these peppermint payouts. They also smell like the gingerbread because the gingerbread smells a little more smelly and they're rubbing together. But the unwrap the cash, these don't smell like a Christmas tree. They just smell like money. We're giving those away. Our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. And I'm inquiring about doors because now I got windows last year. Now I need doors next year. So 866-90-NATION. And our friends at Jiffy Lube Multi-Care with locations all over the place. They took care of me a couple weeks ago, but I've been doing all this driving, all these crab cake tours, including State Fair this week. We're going to be at Wise Markets in 2 weeks. We're going to be at Foreign Daughter and Curio on the 15th. And getting out, I had a great time last week running around from Coco's up to Perryville and Hollywood Casino. We were at the BMA, where I will be with this guy who I'm entertaining this weekend. I mentioned that to Dan Rodericks over at Gertrude's. We're doing this Baltimore You Have No Idea show, getting together with some friends. And it's not the holidays. And you know what, man? It wouldn't be a holiday without a cup of eggnog with Leonard Raskin, who invites me to his annual event, which inspires me to have some of my friends and clients back. You know, Leonard, whatever happened to the good old-fashioned Christmas, holiday, Hanukkah, New Year's, December, lampshade on the head, spike punch bowl party? I mean, it used to be a time in our lives when we were younger men where, like, we'd have three of these a night for a month.
Absolutely.
Right? Right?
Absolutely. We had one last week. We have one this week, but they're not as maybe they are as plentiful. Maybe I'm just not.
No,
spread
I don't see it. I don't see pictures. I don't see anything. Like, if you think of Die Hard, the movie, the whole thing was spawned from a Christmas party.
Absolutely.
Right?
And it ain't Christmas without Nakatomi Plaza.
Absolutely.
It's just not Christmas. You know, people ask every year, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Of course it is. As much as Christmas Story is a Christmas movie. Let's go to Cleveland. What's this, the 40th year, something of that? Something like that. I don't know. It's been a long time since they made that movie. And Ralphie's now a grandfather or something.
Well, I love this time of year. We are serving some eggnog and cheer from our friends at Royal Farms and Wise Markets. Coco's brought me this big jug. Marcel and I are sitting there having a crab cake. And they brought me a jug of this eggnog, and they poured it. And I said to Rob, the head bartender at Coco's, what's in it? He's like, well, there's the bourbon, there's the rye, there's the whiskey, there's the rye. I'm like, is there any eggnog in this? You know,
right.
I need to know, is there any eggnog in this? And then Odette Ramos, who's Puerto Rican, brought me some coquito that her husband, John Spurrier, Redlocks, made for me. And then, you know, I lost Harvey Myers this week, one of my dearest friends, and I thought I needed Gavin Killian's Irish Red in his honor at some point. So I'm feeling very seasonal.
You've been drinking. You've been drinking.
One thing I'll tell you, though, makes me feel seasonal is a nice bye weekend. Sitting here on the couch. My wife made an eggnog cake on Sunday morning. And I'm watching Joe Flacco run around.
Joe Flacco,
38. In the gingerbread outfits in number 15. Oh. He can still throw the football, Leonard.
You know, he's got a rocket for an arm. He has had a rocket since he was young. And I guess the Browns gave him enough to bring out the guns because he was flinging it. And he actually looked happy. He looked excited to be out on the field. And I posted on the Facebook Sunday, I hope Joe has a fabulous game, and I hope they lose. And just about both happened. So pretty darn good day for the Ravens on Sunday, not showing up and having the Squealers and the Brownies both go down. So that's a good day. Any day you cannot play and pick up a game, that's a good day.
I think the next Ravens game I will attend, if the price is right, and it usually is, will be when Joe Flacco goes into the Ring of Honor, whenever that is.
And there you go.
You know, I we can talk about his play and the arm and all that, and John Martin of the Maryland Lottery, who, you know, sponsors us, and you'll have an opportunity to meet here soon as well. He's a Browns fan, lifer, Ohio guy, gets an honest, the whole deal.
Shame.
And, you know, done nothing to lose in there, the whole deal, right? And we talked about Flacco a little bit, and I said, I don't. And I could talk about his play. And John's like, why do you think he played? Why didn't he? The Jets. And I'm like, I talked to Joe for a little while. I mean, we had a nice little, you know, catch-up conversation back in August. late August, and he said, I want to play. And
right,
I,
he like, wants to play.
I heard the conviction in his voice, and right. he said, I'm going to stay in shape. And I thought to myself, when I saw him out there, I'm thinking, Joe Flacco went and busted his ass when nobody wanted him in August.
That's
and
right.
He dropped his kids off at school and said, Dana, I know we got $200 million, and I know I can afford anything, but I want to go F him up. And that was his term. He's Jersey guy.
Yep,
Joe
yep.
and I spoke a different language, which is why I love Joe Flacco. Joe would always say F him up in the same way that in our alley in Colgate, Joe Elliott and Rob DeBilius, all the kids I grew up with and played pop war, play ball with out on the streets.
Yep.
We'd say, let's go F them up, you know, like, and he would always say F them up. And so I text him late into the night Saturday, said, F him up, Joe. And he goes out there with that rocket. And all I'm thinking is he's in great shape. He's stronger than he's been, faster than maybe he felt slow and looked
still
a little slow.
Still didn't run out of the pocket, though.
I think every minute, if I – and I'm going to go up and have a nice tea with Joe one day and get a cheesesteak and a pretzel, because I want to talk to him about September and October, November of 2023, and what made him go back and do this, and how he looks like his arm looks better than it did here in 2016.
He was throwing that ball all over the place. And let's face it, he had no good help with the Jets, and the opportunity to go to the Browns, they had a nice defense. They got rolled, but he had a chance to win a game and make it meaning something. And
he's
still
good
does.
Enough for them to win games. I'll say
that's
that.
Right.
I mean, I watched him play 60 minutes of football. He's better than 15 of the quarterbacks that are out on the field right
that
now.
That are starters.
By far.
Starters.
That are starting, maybe not starters, but yeah.
Right. Starting. Exactly.
I mean, you can't convince me he doesn't give you a better chance to win than Gardner Minshew than Kenny Pickett. I mean, the Steelers would have been better this year bringing Joe Flacco in.
Yep.
They would have been better.
Yep. And he looked good. He didn't look good in brown and orange.
That 15's a little weird too, you know.
And that uniform's just, they're the worst. They're so bad. They just look like dirt. I'm sorry. I've never liked the Browns uniforms. They're so bad.
They look like a good M&M or a good, like, you know, not even a good M&M. Probably more like a Reese's Pieces. It's more like a Reese's Pieces than an M&M. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, but I like Reese's Pieces, and the uniforms are horrible. They do look like Reese's Pieces. Now that you say it, I thought about it three seconds.
I don't know if Joe Flacco tastes like peanut butter, but
and I don't think he really cares what the uniform looks like. He got a paycheck, and more importantly, he got to play football. Let's face it.
Right.
38 years old. Is he the oldest starting quarterback now?
Well, until Aaron Rodgers comes back, right?
Well, that'll be next year. He's not coming back this year. They're not going to blow him up.
Look, I'm not over-exuberant about what Joe Flacco can do, but if they can play defense, he can hand the ball off. He can certainly make the throws
make
decisions despite the interceptions at the end of the game down the field.
What's the difference?
But they have a softer schedule. I have a feeling they will make the playoffs with Joe Flacco quarterbacking their team the next 4 weeks, in 5 weeks, if he can stay upright. And then we get to our own problems, right? Like, bye weekend for us, we sat on the couch. We talk about Joe Flacco. We watched the Rams play. We're going to get them this week. We get Jacksonville.
Look good.
Boy,
Rams
the 49ers look good, right?
49ers look amazingly good. Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, first in every quarterback category. First across the board.
And are you still saying
destroyed.
There's hope for me then as Mr. Irrelevant?
Yeah, that's it. And destroyed the Eagles. I mean, they didn't just beat them. They beat them to a pulp. That was craziness what went on there.
They even got the security guy thrown out, right? I mean, like the whole thing, right?
What was that? I don't even know what happened there. The guy's poking his
like
fingers.
It looked like a Sopranos episode.
Guys pointing out players. The player like points back at him, touches his lip, and they throw him out. That was stupid. But I think they had some previous history. Some history, those two, shall we say, from another time. And so they didn't want it to escalate to something ugly, which it was. But
it was already ugly, yeah.
Yeah, but now the guy in Philly, man, they're going to make a butter statue out of that guy.
Butter? I think I use Crisco.
Yeah, whatever. He's going to get a statue made.
Butter. Margarine,
he's
going to
get a statue. He's going to get a statue made right next to Rocky. Right next to Rocky. He's going to have a statue.
I don't, They that that will be, you're talking about Rocky ain't going to be no rematch. Second time I brought that up this week, but you know, they'll see each other in January or, you know, whatever.
They
And
very
certainly
well may.
For the Ravens and the way this thing is playing out, right? And Dolphins look good offensively, certainly.
Absolutely.
Kansas City, thumbs down on them this week. Buffalo,
yeah,
Cincinnati, teams just getting out of the way. And now more than ever, the Ravens are getting into that this position where their defense is going to be tested in the same way Jim Schwartz's defense has been tested.
Absolutely. I don't know if we have the toughest schedule. If not, it's darn close. Rams, Jags in Jacksonville,
Miami?
Niners in
Santa Clara.
Where the heck is it? Santa Clara, right, and it's not San Francisco. Miami, which could be flexed to 4 Sunday night on New Year's, and then the Squealers, which hopefully by then will be vanquished to the basement. But you know they won't. They're just going to hang around and be bad enough to be a mess.
Man, it was
bad
a mess against
to
the
be
Cardinals,
a bother.
Wasn't it? I mean...
Okay, so let me ask you something.
The weather, too.
Do you
I mean,
ever
you
remember
seen stop games, right?
I was just going to say, do you ever remember stopping football games for bad rain? What was that?
I think there was lightning in the area from what I understood.
Come on. Stopping a football game because it's raining? I don't understand. We used to play in the rain. The best football games in the neighborhood were playing in the snow and the rain and the mud. Play neighborhood against neighborhood, get out there and crack heads, tackle football, no pads, no helmets, like real men when we were 12, 13, 15. That's how football was meant to be played, out in the rain, in the snow.
Do you remember one of the more iconic games? I'm gonna do a screen share with you, Leonard, and for the audience out there, because the anniversary of this game is coming up, and this was a game that I attended. If I show this image to you, Leonard,
look at that!
Would you know what that is? Do you know the exact time and date for that
I was
one?
Not there. I can tell you, I was not there.
This is
I
the
see it, but
this is the fog game where Tony Linhart hit the kick.
Right.
I see Ken Mendenhall. I see Huff. I see Raymond Chester on the ground. It looks
hey,
like Lydell
diddle,
Mitchell.
Diddle,
Lydell,
yeah, it
looks
up
like
the
Lydell
middle.
over here on the right side as well.
Two runs and a pass to Don McCauley punt.
This was the iconic Tony Linhart fog game of beating the Miami Dolphins 10-7. My dad took me to that game. My dad lost me in that game in the fog. Believe it or not,
lost
we
you.
got reunited. Yeah, they said my name on the announcer.
Oh my
goodness.
Name,
section 39, Nestor Aparicio, section 39. So my pop had to like find me. Like my dad went to the
that's
bathroom.
Good.
Or people. I'm 9 years old. It's a Dolphins game. I wanted to get up and see, you know, Bob Greasy play, you know, the whole deal.
Wandering.
So yeah, but that was 1977. Bad
There
weather
you go.
game. They, you know, you couldn't see the field if you were in the
Right.
stands.
Right.
Have you remember that Eagles Bears game?
Oh yeah, sure.
I attended a pea soup game, a playoff Patriot Steeler game at the old, the Patriots used to play like they did in the uniforms this week, but the old stadium up there, I attended a fog game where you couldn't see the ball. You couldn't see anything from the stands, but the Steelers game. Yeah. Like they all stop games now. I think lightning's a part of it.
Lightning, I guess, but stopping game for rain. Who cares? Get out there, play football.
Leonard,
two,
craziest
two and
game
10.
Delay in 28 years. Luke was with me. It was about 8 years ago in Chicago. They had tornadoes coming in.
Oh, there's a day.
So
that's
Luke
a
and
bad
I
day.
Are in the press room with Jen on the television watching the tornado move across the state of Illinois.
That's a bad day.
And they're like, take cover. And the stadium in Chicago says, take cover. And that thing looks like a spaceship. That was crazy. So I've been to a few of these. I've been to some weird
nutty
ones.
Well, ask Palmer about Earthquake World Series, right?
Oh.
In the Bay.
Ken Rosenthal was in a payphone. I was taking dictation from him at the Evening Sun when that happened.
That was something. But I've never seen a football game stop for rain. But I guess that's the thing. You see new stuff all the time. You see Florida State get left out of the
what is that?
NCAA
can you,
playoffs.
Can you, you're, I'm going to get Dave Preston on because he's one of the voters. But
money,
go,
baby.
go ahead.
Money. Money.
Explain
what else
college
could it
football
be?
To me,
I
Leonard.
can't. I can't. You say Big Five you know, Power Five conference, Florida State goes undefeated, goes to the bowl game with a freshman who's thrown no passes and played like two downs in his little college career. Their first string quarterback, young kid, blew out his leg, had to be operated on. Horrible, horrible injury. Second string quarterback against their rival, Florida, running the ball, slides, takes a knee to the head, out, concussion. And they bring in freshman kid against Louisville, who they should have beaten, but I guess he just didn't beat him badly enough, they say. And so they drummed him out of the playoffs in a horrible miscarriage of football justice. They put Alabama in, who beat Georgia, when what they should have done was put Florida State in and kicked Alabama and Georgia to the curb. But you know there is no way in 2023 gambling football NCAA that they're not going to put an SEC team in the four-team playoff. So because Texas blew out Oklahoma State and Washington beat Oregon, the committee said we got to put in Bama because they beat Georgia by three, I guess, or whatever it was. But Alabama's had some ugly wins. I mean, if not for a fourth and two and a Hail Mary pass caught in the corner of the end zone because Auburn was stupid enough to rush two people and then leave a wide receiver uncovered, Alabama beat Auburn. If they hadn't beaten Auburn, they wouldn't be there. The committee would have had no excuse, no reason. But instead, they torched Florida State, who was undefeated, in favor of Alabama with a loss to Texas. And now it's Alabama and that team up north, the fighting, cheating Harbaughs, and Texas, Washington. So as a consolation, Florida State gets to go to the Orange Bowl and play Georgia. I didn't think Georgia should get in, but they were number one all year. Florida State did everything they were supposed to do. They won out. They were ranked higher, and they got hosed.
Well, so, I mean, I remember when Florida State wouldn't be getting hosed. They were the real royalty, you know.
They were it.
Hear Dion's thoughts on that from prime time. And
that's right.
Catch up with Peter Boulware and some of the other Seminoles I know, you know, from yesterday.
I think it was dreadful.
Well, I just think it's – listen, man, I money, love football. Maybe. It's I money. Love sports. And, you know, as I get older and my gray comes in, you know I don't love sports the way I used to because it's not – It's not
less
what
pure.
It's supposed to be. It's
less
not
pure.
It's not what it says it is on the wrapper.
That's right. Well, how
that's
about
really what it is.
You know? Yeah. So instead of Florida State, and they may have gotten blown out by that team up north. They may have gotten rolled, but they deserved a shot. I think they deserved a shot, and I think there was no way the committee was going to say zero SEC teams in the playoff. Now, what's interesting, of course, is next year they go to a 12-team playoff in college football.
And that'll fix all this because there won't be any 13th or 14th team pissed
right,
off, right?
Right. It's like I was going to say, they were talking about it over the weekend that next year you'll have 12 teams and
we're 9-2 here in Tennessee. We play in the SEC.
That's right.
Why are you putting Boston College in there?
Well, you know what? You know
also,
what? Every
SMU.
Here's the thing. Every single team that would be in the top 12 if they did it this year, next year will either be in the SEC or the Big Ten. Because now you have the power two.
Right.
Because everybody's moved around. Washington, USC, UCLA, Oregon, all in the Big Ten.
We have the American League and the National League now.
That's right.
And everybody else has been relegated to AAA.
That's, you know, relegated is the right word. You got no shot. So the Big 12... I mean, the Big 10, which is now, I think, 16, and the SEC, which now is not just in the Southeast, but whatever it is.
You know, that's the great leveling playing field for basketball, is basketball yep. welcomes everyone in, and George
64.
Mason or, you know, Butler.
UMBC.
UMBC, anybody can beat anybody. And
you know what?
Here's
the thing. There's always that debate of who would have been the 65th team, then they got screwed. So let's face it, we're going to have the 12, and team number 12.
Yeah, but some crappy 18-11 Notre Dame basketball team could not make a case. They can make a case for playing a game as a 10 seed, but they can't make a case for winning the championship. It's different when you're undefeated.
They get the NIT.
We're talking about this in football.
Right? No, absolutely. And Florida State deserved a chance. They deserved a chance.
Well, next year they'll get that chance and they'll be 12. You know, so what are they doing to fix it? That's what they did. They're just going to have make more money, have a longer thing.
That's right. They just made it sooner.
It's really, really important.
It's all cash and NIL. And give it, what, 5 years? I say 5 years, maybe 10. And Saudi Arabia will own all the colleges, and then they'll just pay everybody, and it won't matter. Just like golf. The PGA Tour ceases to exist, and the Saudis own golf, and they bought every player there. And the ones that are unhappy about it will be happier because they'll get their $100 million, and they'll go to sleep on their pile of money and be very happy. And, you know, all I'm trying to do out here at Raskin Global is help people find their American dream. And I'm trying to find one Saudi prince as a client so I can do the same thing.
Well, I'll tell you what, hang out down around Hopkins and you'll see that, you know, so that sometimes exists. I certainly was when my wife was there. Leonard Raskin is here. He is Raskin Global. He helps people with money and the American dream. We had so much sports talk about it, you know, through Flacco and all of this. Where are you on baseball? You were, you know, relatively hot and bothered about the Orioles this year and this whole offseason. I mean, what do you expect out of them? Maybe that's the question I should ask. And I expect incompetence and things and probably a frustration level of Mike Elias, because I don't think they don't operate like other teams.
And I'm expecting a lease and a pitcher.
Okay.
That's all. Lease and one pitcher. You know, I don't think they need to make massive moves. I mean, they obviously have to hold on to people they want to hold on to. That's going to be the big thing, is who do they keep and who do they throw away? But that'll be the thing. They've got, obviously, the minor leagues are stocked for the first time in a long time. I mean, you and I remember as kids, the Orioles were famous for building the farm system and having great teams consistently that were Orioles, not ex-Yankees and ex-Rangers and ex-Expos.
Yeah, but that was baseball 30 years ago, though.
But they're doing it now. They're building that stock. And look, they won the International League. And they got good kids down there, and you're going to bring up a shortstop, and you're going to bring up a second baseman, and you're going to put the old dudes to utility, and the kids are going to rock the yard.
And well, a pitcher. At some point, they need to make a move for a pitcher, right? And that might include Couser or Westberg or Hayes.
Right.
I don't know. I mean,
right.
Mullins.
Right.
I mean, these guys, once they start making a lot of money, nobody wants them, right? I mean, nobody wants to pay Mullins or Hayes. They all want, you know, bring them young and cheap and like all of that. And the Orioles have so much of that going on. And I talked to Luke about this. They don't really, if they don't do anything, that still could be, you know, people are going to go out there and buy it and buy the hamburger, not the steak.
And
whatever.
They got the new youngins. And they're going to promote the heck out of them. And I took some birthday cash I got from some relatives that like to write a check instead of find a present, because that's their way, and it's all good. Got myself a Rutschman jersey for the upcoming season.
Did you? With black or white or orange?
I did the white because I was thinking Sunday afternoon, 95 degrees at the yard.
It's going to be comfortable.
I don't want a black jersey.
And they breathe nice, the new ones now, don't they?
I got the white jersey, light white jersey, so that when I'm out there on a Sunday afternoon with the fam, I can represent instead of just wearing a old black ratty polo shirt that I have.
I was like 35 anyway because Messina wore it. So
it's a good number.
Last thing, you're the Republican, the money manager, the guy that watches all of this. You know, you're that guy. What do you make of the lease thing? What game?
I think it's a farce. I think it's a farce. I think it's crazy. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I don't have great faith in our governor and in the ownership.
In what way that the governor is going to give him $400 million?
That he promoted that it was done when it wasn't done. I think that's ratty. I think sitting in that booth at the end of the season, having your face up on the Jumbotron, hugging on Angelo, saying it's done, was a lie. He knew it, and that's disgusting. Say it's a letter of understanding, a memo of understanding, we're close, but announcing that it's done. And
without a press conference.
And then it's not done. And it's not done. And we find out it's not done. That was very discouraging and annoying. So stop with the it's done because it's not done. Let's get it done. But I still think, I don't know why I have this in my brain, that they're waiting for Angelos to finalize the new ownership that he's not part of to get it done. I do believe that.
I don't think there's any chance John Angelos will negotiate the end of the Angelos family and the Orioles. That would be shocking to me.
Well, let's hope you're shocked and we're happy.
God, I hope you're right. Can you imagine that day? I said to Luke in the beginning, I got wistful. We lost Harvey Myers this week.
Yeah.
The big Oriole fan, Colt fan, Raven fan, one of my first sponsors and dear friend. And, you know, just been talking about, like, the passage of time. I said to Luke, I got my hair cut the other day. I'm not too so I don't color it. There's still some plenty of gray in there. But I think I'm gonna live long enough to see whatever the next thing is. And that's really what sustains me when I'm sitting here watching my one-time colleague Ken Rosenthal on Major League Baseball Network and watching these owners' meetings and seeing it all. Because I could have flown to Nashville today. Instead, I'm flying to see Geddy Lee up in Toronto instead.
There you go.
Get some baseball involved here. This week, but you know, I watch the winter meetings. I want this to be a normalized baseball situation on behalf of my cousin, my family name, the city.
Here's hoping.
Sports fans.
Here's hoping.
Like, I hope that we get normal at some point because this.
Yeah, well, let's hope Mike Elias has the opportunity to put a good team on the field, and Elise is signed, and we're all happy. And it's 2024.
I hope Mike Elias is happy.
Well, there you go.
That's
he needs
the most
some cash.
Thing.
Sign him. I don't know if they announced that signing.
Well, it'd be a hell of a lot cheaper to give him $10 million a year and overshoot the market than it would be to give a Kyle Gibson $24
Absolutely.
Million if you're the Cardinals, right?
Absolutely.
Overpay your good help, John Angelos. Get some
Amen.
Pitching.
Amen.
Anything you want to say to people about money in the holidays and not being stupid with their credit cards? And, you know,
just wrap up your year strong. Just think about what you're doing. Yeah. Don't spend what you can't spend. The gift is in the giving, and you don't need to spend a fortune for people to be happy with what you give them. Be happy with what you give them and spend time with family, loved ones, charity, volunteer. If you're going to do charity, get out there and give your time. If you can't afford the money, if you can afford the money, do both. And give somebody a hug, man. It's the holidays.
Hey, and by the way, I want to give a shout out to people you love more than anybody else. You mentioned charity and doing good things. You do a ton for Mount Washington Pediatric Hospital, who came under some bad news this week.
Yeah.
Some employees.
Yeah.
And these are people we know. You know, Paula Bragg's been close to me for 25, 30 years. I've known her a long, long time. And all the good work they do over there, that's not why we want to see them on the news. Certainly for the city.
No.
We talk Baltimore Positive, and you know, we all know we have a crime issue here. We all know we have all of these problems.
Yeah, crazy, crazy.
Things I talk about here all the time, Leonard. I don't run from any of it.
Yep.
I talk about prostituting kids. I talk about crime on the streets. I talk about leaving the city. I talk about money. I talk about the harbor. I was in the city 3 days last week. You know, everything from CFG Bank Arena to Coco's up to the BMA. We'll be at the BMA this week. I love Baltimore, but the Mount Washington Pediatric Hospital thing hit home for me, you know?
Yeah, it was tragic, you know, right in the parking lot, daytime, 15-year-old, and I don't know what they'll release, but you and I both know undoubtedly an arrest record. This was not the first offense. Carjacking is probably not the first thing that the tot did. And the state and the city's got to get serious about this. The courts have to get serious about this. You know, there was a case a couple weeks ago, kid, 15, 8 arrests. The court system has to do something to deter these kids from being a menace to the people of the city and state. It's the city is just going to die. It's really sad, but the city, no matter how good the Ravens are, how good the Orioles are, I go downtown, I park my car, I go to the game, I leave, and I'm not the exception, I don't think. And
that's what I'm bitching about with Angelos wanting to take all this money in this land and overturn all oversight with the mayor. I mean, it's like, I mean, I would curse if I really wanted to talk
it's
about
crazy.
What it is.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's baddish is what it is. And, you know, the notion that what's your idea, dude? What the land sitting there, the team plays it. If you have a great idea, bring it to me. Tell me how we're going to make it better and safer and better and more attractive and more engaging. What is your idea? And I've shown that picture and I shared it. I know you saw it out on my LinkedIn, you saw it on my Facebook, of that empty dirt that became the Inner Harbor, that became the Science Center. Think of all of that as empty dirt right now, and think of everything around the stadium as empty dirt. Tell me what your idea is, dude. And not build a casino or some fake golf course that people are going to hit balls or whatever. That's already there. It's already there. Tell me you're going to redo Hammer Jacks. Come on, dude. Stop. What's your idea? If you don't have an idea, don't tell me
just
about
want money.
Crime in the city
just
and
want money.
Leonard coming and leaving. If you don't have an idea that Leonard or Nestor or anybody, and that goes for black, white, young, old, rich, poor, east, west. If you don't have an idea, you know, Governor Schaefer had an idea. We're going to put a science center. We're going to put an aquarium. It's going to be families. We're going to have food. We're going to have a fish market. We're going to have a walkthrough. We're going to make a mall. We're going to have hotels. We're going to have tourism. We're going to have a convention center. We're going to have crab cakes. We're going to have things people want. We're going to have history. We're going to have Civil War history. We're going to have food. We're going to have walking tours.
We're going to swim with the seals, baby. We're going to swim with the seals.
Like, in 45 seconds, I've just given you 30 years worth of ideas that sustain this city for most of our lifetime. And now we're thinking, who's the next big thinker? Is it you, Brandon Scott? Is it you, Wes Moore? Is it you, John Angelos? Is it you, David Bramble? Who is it? And where's the idea? Where's the big idea for what you're going to do that's going to include my tax dollars?
Sheila Dixon.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to talk to everybody. Leonard, that's why that's why you sponsored me, brother, because we talked to
there
all
you
of them.
Go.
Leonard Raskin is here. He is Raskin Global. I at some point, I have your crab mallet, but it's in my bag because I've been doing so many crab cake tours that it's in my bag. So I'm going to be at State Fair this week. We're going to be next week with our friends at Wise Markets. We're going to be at Far and Daughter and Curio Wellness on the 15th. That's Friday the 15th. We'll be giving away some Maryland Lottery scratch-offs, our friends at Window Nation, our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. And I think Leonard's going to come out and join us at some point before the holidays as well. I'm looking forward to seeing you at the BMA this week and over at Gertrude's
as
well.
Yes, sir.
Turns out I'm related to John Shields. Who owns Gertrude's, and I did not know this, and I've been related to him for almost a decade because his cousin is my son's wife. Is his cousin.
There you go. Via marriage.
You know, I saw the Shields in her maiden name, and his name's John
Baltimore.
Shields, and I'm like,
Baltimore.
It's the word everybody has used for it. It's small. I call it serendipity. So we're going to be having a good time this week. If you listen in, you hear Dan Rodericks talking about Baltimore, you have no idea that's happening. Odette Ramos joined us. Had a great chat with Ron Cassie and Rasig at Coco's last week. And then Friday, had Amy Brennan on, who runs the casino up at Hollywood Casino. And I've gotten close to her. She's a Steelers fan. We had a lot of fun. Learned a lot about gaming. Learned a lot about history there with her as well. And we also did a good turn. I lost Tom Kelly. Also, the Maryland Stadium Authority chairman is still under the weather here early. Get well soon, Tom. We're going to have Tom on for the Stadium for Dummies. We're going to do that next week now, get him better. But I had the folks in the Chesapeake Feline Association sit in and talk kitty cats with me. So a big appreciation to Jacqueline and Carrie who came out. And I bought them a crab cake up there at even though they're vegetarian, I bought them a salad. It's fine. Up there at Hollywood Casino. So big thanks to everybody. Hope you're tuning in. Luke and I are doing baseball, football, bye weeks over. The Rams are coming to town. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.